Today is Yom Kippur. And yes, Don, I researched further. I asked a Jewish man, how do you pronounce that holiday? And he said Kippur, Yom Kippur. And then I thought, Don said, that doesn't sound right. So I listened to three or four other Jewish people, and they said Kippur. So take your pick. It's Yom Kippur. That's what we're going to do, and I'm going to play that real soon. So I'm going to give you a little bit of background. We're going to be talking about the Day of Atonement. Such an important thing. And you know, in the scripture, God told Israel, this is for you and the stranger who may stay with you, meaning the Gentiles. This belongs to everyone, the Day of Atonement. So Rosh Hashanah marks the beginning of the Jewish year, New Year, and it kicks off 10 days of repentance of the Jewish holy day season. In 2020, it's in September, but in some years it falls into early October. Rosh Hashanah began on Friday, September 18th. So remember, it's a 10-day spread, and it ends today on September 27th on Yom Kippur, which in English means the Day of Atonement. And as we read about it, means the Day of Atonement, as we read about it in the scriptures. So today, being the Day of Atonement, God set this day up as the holiest and most solemn of all the holidays on his calendar, and it required death for life. And this is what the Lord led me to speak about today. I am not a Jewish holiday expert by any means, but I think it has meaning for us today, and I think we can get something out of it regardless. And I want to share this very short video with you. My technical man flew. That talks about this holiday, the temple, and how it was used. It's really short. I think it's 6 minutes long. So if you'll bear with us just a second, we're going to play this video. I hope you didn't think that was too simplistic, but I thought it was a really good depiction of from the beginning to Christ and the thread that runs through that. And I just want to talk a little bit about it today. I won't hold you very long. The first Day of Atonement is found in Genesis chapter 3 and 21, when Adam and Eve attempted to cover their own sin with leaves, but God said, no, that won't do, because blood is required to atone for sin. So God killed an animal and made them coverings that were suitable out of skins of the animal. And the gravity of that is Adam had given a name to the animal that God slayed to cover him. Again, a death for the life. And the damage was done. You recall there that in Genesis, God said everything was very good, but Adam's sin brought death and decay into this world. And in parallel to the first sin, in the 13th and 14th chapters of the book of Leviticus, we see the devastation that leprosy brought into the world. Leprosy in the Bible was not, as we know it today, the sin of the, the disease called Hansen's disease, what we know as leprosy today, which is still rampant in parts of the world, such as India and Brazil and Indonesia, with more than half of today's active cases in India. But today, if it's caught early, it's generally a curable disease, though it takes time. But in the Bible, leprosy represented sin, and it was actually a collection of skin diseases. And even houses and clothing could become infected with the leprosy, whether it was leprosy of the flesh or it was garments, or it was houses, or some of these other certain diseases that were named in Leviticus, such as scal, which is scale, or bone, boils, or risings, scabs, or bright spots. It was all symbolic of sin, and it had to be separated and quarantined, a word we know well today, and then ceremoniously cleansed by the priest as instructed by God, including sacrifice. Again, death for life. Leprosy was described as an ugly, loathsome, incurable, and contaminating disease in the Bible. It separated one from God and from society, making the leper an outcast. The instructions given to the priest in Leviticus chapter 13 included a sin offering, a burnt offering, and then a meat offering, symbolizing how sin gets on the inside and it goes deeper than the skin, and how it spreads throughout the body and it defiles and isolates the one who has it. The garments infected with leprosy had to be burned with fire, just as unatoned sin will be burned with fire. Everything that was touched by the leper had to be cleansed or burned. But if the leper turned all white, then the priest could pronounce him to be clean of his disease. Further in Leviticus chapter 15, we see the cleansing practices that the priest had to follow in the case of running issues of both men and women. These were said to be socially transmitted diseases that caused putrid flowing issues, which were contracted from the ungodly practices performed during idol worship in the groves. So there were all kinds of sins against God that were brought to the temple, that were brought to the tabernacle for atonement on this day. The kinds of sins that hurt God's heart, that separated man from men and from God, and that dug deep into the soul. God was serious about the need for the cleansing, and he laid out very specific processes which must be followed. But in every case, he required death for life. In chapter 16 of Leviticus, it's in verse 29, it says, "And this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, ye shall afflict your souls," which means fast, "and you shall do no work at all, whether it be for one of your own country or for a stranger that sojourneth among you. For on that day shall the priest make atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you, and you shall afflict your souls by a statute forever." Even then, as we saw in this little video, God was preparing them for a different kind of sacrifice, a better sacrifice, a more excellent sacrifice, as the scripture says, Jesus the Messiah. In chapter 16 and verse 8, we see Aaron would reach into his priestly garments, remember the Urim and the Thummim, and he would cast the lots on two goats. One goat was to be slain as the sin offering to the Lord, and the other goat would live and go free as the scapegoat. Leviticus 16, 21 and 22 says, "And Aaron shall lay both hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions in all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness." A fit man meaning someone who was qualified and chosen a year in advance to do this job, to escort the goat out. "And the goat shall bear upon him all the iniquities into a land that is not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. There are a lot of different opinions on this, what the scapegoat meant. Some think it represented Satan being outcast with the sin. Others say it represented the resurrection of Christ. Still others say it took two goats to symbolize the sacrifice of Christ. One that would be slain for the sin sacrifice, and the other to remove or take away the sin. Behold the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. And this is what I think. And Aaron entered into the tabernacle, and he passed through the veil with a burning censer full of coals of fire and the incense from off the horns of the altar. Did you see that each of the brazen altar had four horns, and the inner incense altar had four horns? And he would take that incense, and only one time a year was he allowed to go in and take the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger on the mercy seat toward the east. And before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle the blood with his finger seven times, God's perfect number. But today we celebrate a new day of atonement, a new sacrifice, the more excellent sacrifice, as I said. And if you want to turn to Hebrews 9, we'll wrap up right there. It's an amazing passage, and I encourage you to read this chapter, Hebrews 9, because it mirrors the 16th chapter of Leviticus beautifully. And it says that the entrance by man into the tabernacle, into the Holy of Holies, was forbidden. Only the priest could go in one time a year. But thank God, the new sacrifice, Jesus Christ as our scapegoat, both being the sin sacrifice for us and taking away the sin. Nothing else could take the sin away but Jesus, paying the death penalty and removing all our sin, opened up the way for man to enter into that Holy of Holies with God. Every man, the poor man, the common man, the evil man and the vile man, the leper, the sick man, all men who will believe in and be cleansed by Christ's atonement on the cross can enter that holy place with God now. That most sacred of all places that God set up for himself to dwell with the people. He made it possible that we too can have that audience with God. And not just one day a year, but anytime, at all times. Because that veil was rent in two. In the video we saw, that veil separated man from God, but that was torn in half when Jesus hung on the cross and the perfect Lamb was sacrificed, tearing down that middle wall of partition. I read that it cost the guilty about $400 in sacrifices to be pronounced clean from their sin on the Day of Atonement. But for us, it's free, a free gift of God to all who believe. Thank you, Jesus, our atonement. And Hebrews 9, 11 through 13, this would be my text for the message. But Christ became a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. That is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified them to the purifying of the flesh, how much more? How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God. Purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Again, death for life. Don, would you start passing out the communion now? We're going to end the service with a song that a death for a life was the price. It was his death for my life. It wasn't just any old death. It had to be that perfect sacrifice for my life. He was our scapegoat. He took away our sin, and not only did he take them away, but he forgot them. He's our entrance at the gate to get in to the tabernacle. He's our clothing of righteousness. He's our sacrifice at the brazen altar. No more the blood of bulls and goats, but Christ's blood. He's our cleansing at the laver, the washing. He's our cleansing. He's our atonement by the blood that he shed, and he's our anointing by the oil of the Holy Spirit. So on this Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, we can celebrate the New Testament, Christ, and his blood, the only worthy sacrifice to take away sin. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. But it had to be his blood alone. The Bible says that the life is in the blood. Thank you. That the life is in the blood. And his blood covers us. As I said, we're not going to follow our normal scripture reading as we do before we take communion this morning. I want us to sing this song. We're singing Jesus Keep Me Near the Cross. And what page is that on?
216.
216. Feel free to turn to 216. And you decide when you want to take this communion. You decide when it's right for you as you commune with the Lord in that Holy of Holies this morning. You can choose.
The cross bears us.
And his shed blood. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Keep us near the cross, Lord. Jesus, we thank you for this day of atonement. We thank you that you were the sacrifice worthy to take our sin away, Lord. We ever want to be near that cross, and we don't ever want to forget the sacrifice and the cost, Lord, your death for our life. Be with us this week, O God. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.